1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll begin there this evening, beginning in verse 5. We'll be continuing tonight, obviously, in our series on marriage, as we begin this morning on God designed a difference, and He certainly did. And through researching for this marriage, I came across, obviously, numerous stories, and I haven't told you many of them, but wanted to read a couple of them to you today. As we got started, I thought this was good. This morning, I mentioned that when God created Adam and Eve, that obviously God's plan wasn't man and beast. He gave him a woman. It obviously wasn't man and man because he gave him a woman. It obviously, it wasn't polygamy because he gave him a woman, not a number of women. And I mentioned that this morning, and somebody thanked me for commenting on that. And I'd found an interesting quote on Mark Twain. Said once when Mark Twain was... well, I'm going to try it again. Once when Mark, whatever his name was lecturing in Utah, a Mormon acquaintance argued with him on the subject of polygamy. After a long and rather heated debate, his friend finally said to Mark Twain, "Can you find for me a single passage of Scripture which forbids polygamy?" "Certainly," replied Mark Twain. "The Bible says no man can serve two masters." I thought that was interesting. I think he was probably a saved man. I don't know. I thought this was good. Soon after our last child left home for college, my husband was resting next to me on the couch with his head on my lap. I carefully removed his glasses. "You know, honey," I said sweetly, "without your glasses, you look like the same handsome young man I married." "Honey," he replied with a grin, "without my glasses, you still look pretty good too." Said a man was talking about his marriage. He said, "When my wife and I got married, we agreed on one thing. I'd make all the major decisions and she'd make all the minor decisions." Then he paused. "You know, we've been married for 28 years and we haven't had to make one single major decision." All right, I'll stop. I get going on these. And a husband and wife were driving a long way in silence after a terrible argument. And neither one of them would budge or give in that argument. And they drove by a pasture, and there was a mule standing there in the pasture. And he pointed to that mule at that pasture and looked at his wife and said, "Is that a relative of yours?" And she looked at him and she said, "Yes, by marriage." 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to look at verse 5, if you will. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 5. "For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." Obviously, we read that this morning as our theme for the day. "Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." Look at verse 8. "Finally, be ye all of one mind." Wait a minute. Now, he just said that husbands, you're going to have to learn, you're going to have to gain knowledge to figure out how to get along with your wife, because the two of you are different. Then he says, "Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing." In other words, you ought to give blessing for railing. You ought to give blessing when somebody gives evil to you. Boy, couldn't, if a husband and wife could learn that, if either the husband or the wife was angry and just started getting mad at their mate, what if the other mate responded with blessing? Could you imagine how many arguments we wouldn't have? Can you imagine how it would squelch division in a marriage? You say, "Well, that's easier said than done, preacher." You're absolutely right. Look at verse 10. "For he that will love life and see good days," notice that, good days, "let him refrain his tongue from evil." That's a nice way of saying you better keep your mouth shut to your wife if you want to see good days, "and his lips that they speak no guile." Obviously, I'm picking. Father, Pray that you'd bless, Lord, as we look again, once again this evening at the differences that you've designed between men and women. And Lord, I pray that you'd help this to help us, as your word always does. In your name we pray, amen. I think we kind of proved our point this morning about the fact that men and women are different. But, you know, really, one of the greatest myths that there is that I've heard people say there's really no essential difference between men and women, beyond obviously physically. And I'm here to tell you that's just absolutely unbiblical, it's unreasonable, and it's dangerous to your marriage for you to think that. Let me say this, God made women and men different both physically and emotionally. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, we find that he commands husbands to take note of this. He says, you better dwell with them according to knowledge. We talked about that this morning. And which brings me to this. You and I might not understand why our spouses think and feel the way they do. But we have to understand and accept that they do think and feel certain ways. You see, a lot of us say, well, I don't know why my wife thinks this or acts this way. And a lot of us say, well, I don't know why my husband. Listen, you don't necessarily have to know why. You just need to know that they do and accept that and love them for that. Because there are going to be differences. And if you think about it, husbands and wives, the way we are different, we talked about that this morning, how men use obviously the left hemisphere of the brain, women use both, and we talk about how we've been created genetically and different things, and if you look at the way men are made and the way women are made, it's an absolute train wreck. I'm having trouble with train tonight. Do you notice that? It's an absolute train wreck waiting to happen in marriage. And it's going to happen without the help and grace of God in marriage. Number one tonight, I want you to realize, and we're going to dig into a little bit of genetics here, but number one, you have to understand that men and women think different. They think different. From the early stages of development, the brains of men and women develop differently. Now, I told you that men use the left side hemisphere of the brain, and then obviously women use both. Let me tell you why. When you and I are born, it starts out different, and I'll tell you why. Women, they get a heavy dose of estrogen, and that helps women. It kind of spurs them to nurturing and caring. It gives them that nurturing and caring nature. Like I said, there's always exceptions. But on a whole, women are gifted with that, and that's one of the things that causes that. Weeks after conception, men receive a huge dose of testosterone. And later, as a fetus in the womb, they get a biochemical bath. And what that does is it severs the connection between the left and right brain. That's why men only use that one side. And women, that for some reason it doesn't happen that way, and they use both. That's why women, you know, they have logic, but also they have intuition. And here they have, like I said this morning, they have calculation, but they also have feeling. And they're using all that at once. And us men, we have the one side of the brain. And that's why. Because when we're born, that biochemical bath separates that nerve, and we just use that one half of our brain. So we automatically, from the start, think different, act different, all these different things. When this happens in men, when that biochemical bath separates that left and right side of the brain, here's what happens. That promotes competitiveness and focus in men. But when that happens, it hurts their ability to multitask. And this happens before we even are born. That means that already for men, the ability to multitask and do all kinds of things at once is difficult for us, where women, it just comes a little bit more natural to be able to do that because they're operating with their entire brain. And us guys, we're working on half a brain. So that's your good excuse when your wife gets mad at you. Tell her, hey, I only have use of half my brain. Women, if your husband tells you you're getting a big head, tell him why. I got to use it all. The result is a very different way of thinking for men and women. Men are analytical. They have laser-like focus oftentimes, not when they're sitting on a recliner watching the game. But when it comes to tasking, they have focus, And they're very analytical. They think through things, and they've got to have reasons for a lot of things. Women are much more intuitive, and they're able to juggle many tasks at the same time. Now, obviously, there's advantages and disadvantages of both, but we're going to talk about the differences here. A man can usually tell you exactly why he believes something. In other words, if a man doesn't trust someone, and you say, why don't you trust him? That man will have a good reason. He'll either say, well, I saw the way he acted in a particular situation or a decision this gentleman made, and I took note of that, and I just don't trust him. Well, there's a reason for that. Now, if a woman says, well, I don't trust him, you'll say, why? She might not have a good answer to that. She might not have a list of reasons why she doesn't trust a person. She just intuitively doesn't trust them. Am I right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? All God's children said, amen. You see, us men, we'll look at our wife and she'll say, I don't like that person. I don't trust them. And you'll say, why? You know, any of you men have ever had this conversation? What have they ever done? I don't know. I just don't have a good feeling around them. Oh, well, let's just base the whole world on your feelings, sweetheart. Well, you know, oftentimes with women, they might not have good reasons to feel the way they feel, but oftentimes they end up at the right conclusion because they have spiderwebs. They don't always end up at the right conclusion, but a lot of times they do. Us men will often end up at the right conclusion because we wouldn't get to that conclusion if we didn't feel we had. Hey, if you ask a man why he feels a certain way, look at me, he's going to give you good reasons why he feels that way. Now, even if he's wrong, he's got good reasons for being wrong. Because men are thinking logic, and men are dispersing facts, and they think that way, and they're analytical, and they're focused on that. And if I'm going to feel a certain way, now my wife and I, and she'll bear witness to that, and obviously we joked a lot this morning, and my wife wasn't here, so she's here tonight. I'm being very serious. And I'm just picking. But listen, we think totally different. I mean, my wife and I will begin to talk about subjects sometimes, and my wife just about just won't get into it with me. And here's why. If I don't, as a man, if I don't know what I'm talking about, I won't have an argument with you over it. That's just me as a man. In other words, if you bring up a subject and I know about it, I'll argue with you on it because I think I'm convinced that I know what I'm talking about. But if you bring up a subject I don't know anything about, I'm not going to argue just to argue. Because I don't have a good reason to think those things. But if I'm convinced that I'm right, why do we men do that? Because we've gone through the logic and we feel we've got good reason to feel the way we do. And here's where it starts getting into trouble. Because women oftentimes have a feeling, an intuition, whatever the case might be, and they don't have a good reason to feel that way. And we as men feel differently, but we've got all the logic, we've got all the facts that oftentimes women and men argue differently. And a man will have a better argument because he's got all these facts. But a woman might not have the good list of facts to argue with, but she's convinced she's right. Because I might not know why, but I just know. And us men are like, but you can't explain why. That's when we begin to get into trouble. Let me get onto some more terms if I can. In math terms, a man can show you his work. He's got a good reason. He can almost list it. Women don't show their work, but often they get to the right conclusion. Their brain, listen to me, oftentimes women's, their brain works faster than they can explain. Again, they've got intuition, they've got calculation, they've got feeling, they've got this, they've got everything going on. And a lot of times it takes a little bit longer to process that. And so we as men, we're a little bit quicker, we've got the reasons, we've got the facts, and when you begin to get into a disagreement oftentimes, it's not that the woman's wrong, it's just that she can't explain her feelings as well as a man can because he's gotten to those feelings by logical steps. And then before long, what does a wife feel? A wife feels that you don't even listen to me. A wife feels you don't trust me. You don't listen to what I have to say. Men, can I give you some advice? If your wife has a bad feeling about another woman, stay away from her. If she has a bad, you say, well, she doesn't have a good reason to have a bad feeling. She's never done anything inappropriate. Listen, Your wife has a bad feeling, stay away. Good intuition. You say, well, what if she's wrong? Well, then she's wrong, but you've done right because you respected her opinion. Boy, this morning he was, oh, let's have fun. Tonight is, whoa, 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 whoa. Let me put it this way. To see the difference in focus, watch one spouse talk on the phone while the other's listening. Let me illustrate. Usually a man, if he's on the phone, and he's talking with somebody on the phone, and let's say his wife is sitting over here, and she tries to tell him to tell the person on the phone such and such. And he's on the phone, and she's like, well, tell him, ask him this, ask him that. Now, the man will have to, would you hold on for a second? And he'll put it down and say, what did you want me to ask? But now, if the woman's on the phone, she can be talking to the lady at Macy's, or whatever the case might be, and the husband's talking, and she's talking to the lady, and the husband will say, ask her how, and she'll be like, and my husband wants you to know what kind of, what would she just do? She just multitasked. She was able to hear this and this, and she was able to process this more. And us men, because we're so focused on one thing, it's harder for us to multitask. So oftentimes, you know, it's like, can I tell you what my pet peeve is? Ordering at a drive-thru. Do I have any other men that hate to order at a drive-thru? I don't mind ordering for me, because I make it very simple. But when you got three kids and a wife, and every order has to be different, and you know, I'm like, give me number whatever, or give me such such. That's fine. What kind of sauce? Whatever you want to give me. Well, what do you? Whatever kind of drink you want. Whatever. A woman's there. Give me a number 4. Now hold the pickles. I don't want any onions, and I don't want too much mustard. Put this on the side, and kind of a thing. And you know what? When you're the man, you're driving. You have to be the one at the speaker, and you're trying to order. I need a number, and she's saying, "No, make that a Diet Coke." Hold on for a second. What do you want? You know. I mean, if they would invent drive-thrus where there was a speaker on both sides. So that when you come through, you're by yourself, order if that one. But if you come through, your wife's on that side, she could order in that speaker, and you could just sit there. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I think that's a great invention. You know why we hate to order at drive-thrus, ladies? Because you're asking us to multitask, and it's absolutely driving us crazy. Number 2. I better get off that one real quick. We feel different. We don't just think different. We feel different. Because of the way God made us, men many times base their significance upon their achievements. A man in his 40s will start to look back and he'll begin to kind of think down on himself. You know what? I don't have the kind of house I think I hoped I was going to have for my wife, for my family. You know, when you're early 20s or just starting off, you think, man, you know, I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna have all this. And then, you know, man, life happens. And before long, all of a sudden now, men, here you've got a wife and kids and you've been very blessed, or whatever the case might be. But oftentimes that's not really what flips our switch. Is the fact that I don't think that I've provided, I haven't achieved a lot. I feel like with my job, whatever the case might be. Well, why does that? And a wife hears that and she just thinks, what in the world? Would you get over it? But they don't understand, because men, oftentimes, we feel different. And many of the things in our life is based on our achievement. But women, they're more centered on relationships. And that's just the way we've been made. I mean, oftentimes a man will be discouraged and things because he thinks he hasn't gotten for his wife what he wanted to get her. And many times, and there are exceptions, but many times it's really not even that important to her. And by the way, wives, the kind of house you live in, the kind of car you drive, the kind of clothes you have and all this stuff, that shouldn't matter to you. That shouldn't be the most important thing in your life. And God forbid you ever belittle your husband because you say, well, so-and-so got such kind of house. How come you couldn't do that? How come you couldn't do that? Well, let me tell you something. So-and-so probably has a nice, supportive wife. How come you couldn't do that? But us men can't say that. We're just joking. Ask a couple about a road trip. Here's a husband and wife. They go to Florida and back. You ask the wife, how was the trip? And she'll say something like, oh, it was great. We found this little spot down in, like, in the Florida Keys, and it was this neat little restaurant, and the breeze was blowing, and he has these palm trees. And she'll go through these little details, and the man, you'll say, how was your trip to Florida? And he'll say, great. I saved 30 miles driving the one way as I did coming back. And my car averaged 2 miles more per gallon coming back than it did going down because I kept it at a certain speed. Well, they saw two totally different things. You know why? Man was achievement. I saved some gas. I went a different route. I'm going to tell you, it's a big thing when you map out a trip with us men. Because bless God, we're gonna save the time, avoid the traffic. It's like a project to us. You know why? Because that's what we're based on. We're based on achievement. And here's what happens. You go on a trip, and a wife's sitting here looking at this. I'm like, isn't that beautiful? That's just happening. And she's looking over, and he's like, well, I don't know. Maybe the gas, you know, kind of a thing. And he's totally focused on something different. And then the wife looks at it and says, you know what? That's all you care about. You don't care about me. I mean, we're supposed to have a nice time together, and all you're worried about is your dumb gas mileage. And the husband sits here, and he thinks, man, I spent all this money and planned this to go on this trip, and you're making a big deal about gas. You know, before long, now you've got a nice, wonderful trip that's absolutely turned nasty. You know why? Because you feel differently. That's the way things go. Men like to solve problems alone. Did you know that, women? We like to solve problems alone. That's why we don't ask for directions. Why? Say, why he just won't pull over and ask? Let me tell you why. We are based on achievement. We will find it. We don't want to feel like we couldn't achieve it without somebody else's help. So men like to be able to do it on our own. Now, a woman, it's different with her. Men like to solve problems alone. Women like to help others solve their problems. They love it. And here's what happens. A lot of times women's like, well, let me help you. If you'll pull over there, we can ask directions. And the man's like, no, I've got it. I'm fine. They're like, no, you're not fine. And they drive around for an hour, and she's getting madder. And he's getting madder because she's getting madder. You know why? She wants to help him solve his problem. He doesn't want any help solving that problem. You see, oftentimes, and listen to me, I want you to get this. Men just need encouragement to stick with it. If a man's going through a hard time trying to do something that's not going well, all he wants, he doesn't need you to come in and show him how to do it and do it for him. A man doesn't like that. He wants to achieve that. All a man wants to do is to encourage, honey, you can do it. You stick with it. Honey, we've been driving for 8 hours in circles, but you can find it, honey. Do you know, with women, it is supportive, encouraging, uplifting, and helpful for one woman to give another woman advice. Oftentimes, somebody will go through something, or maybe a lady will go through something, and I don't want to bother anybody with it. And a woman at church will find out she's going through something, and that woman will go talk to her, and she'll say, why didn't you come to me? She goes, well, I don't want to bother anything. Well, why didn't you come to me? You know why a woman is so anxious? Because really, she loves to be able to help someone with their problems. It almost means more to her than the person that has the problem. Because women absolutely love, it's just in their nurturing nature. They absolutely love to help somebody fix a problem. They love to do that. They love to help with that. Men, we don't want anybody to help us fix that problem. We want to be able to fix it ourselves. We just want you to admire and trust us that we can. You say, well, that's kind of simplistic. Oh, let me tell you something. There's been divorces based on this. I'm telling you, folks. Men tend to only ask advice under two circumstances. Number one, if he's looking for a solution. Number two, if he wants somebody to blame. That's the only time that he will go to someone else and ask advice. We are just different. Let me get a little bit more specific. Number three, we communicate different. Now, we talked about communication, about the need to do that. Let me kind of get right down where the rubber meets the road. The different thinking patterns and behaviors of men and women are ripe for misunderstandings and unmet expectations. A young lady will get married and she'll have in her mind what marriage is. A young man will get married and he'll have in his mind what marriage is. And both of them feel the way they feel about marriage. Both of them have the expectations they have. because that's just what the ones that they have. That's who they are. And oftentimes his expectations and her expectations are not realistic at all. And so immediately in that first year, why does everybody say we have so much a hard time in the first year of marriage? Because the first year of marriage, here's him feeling and thinking differently. Here's her feeling and thinking differently. Both of them think that they know what the other person was supposed to do and act towards them, how they're supposed to be with them. And then they find out life isn't like that, and they have a big problem. And one of two things happens. Either that divide starts there and it continues till either one day they divorce, or one day they just don't speak, they just exist. Or we deal with it, get to the bottom of it, both of us change and adapt, love with God's grace, and we make a marriage out of this thing. And that's what often happens. Let me, if I can, to show you how we communicate differently. I think this is good. Primarily, men want to fix problems. Women want to affirm people. When the wife shares a problem, let's say you as a wife go to your husband and you've got a problem, something's going on in your life, and you go to your husband and talk to him about it. Now, men, listen to this. Men, listen to this. When the wife shares a problem, the husband assumes she is telling him because she wants him to fix the problem. And men love to fix problems. I love problem solving, me personally. I just love it. It's just a challenge to me. I love that. But listen to me. As the man, he's thinking, she's come to me with this problem. The reason she's come to me with this problem is because she wants me to help her fix it. You know why a man thinks that? Because that's why he would come to somebody with the problem. A man wouldn't come to a person with a problem unless I'm coming to you with a problem, I want the bottom line of how to fix it. Listen, if I'm working on my car and there's something in my car I can't fix, I'm going to go to a guy that knows how to fix on cars, and I'm going to say, this is what the problem is. How does this get fixed? I don't want to sit and talk with him 3 hours and have tea and cookies and experience the whole evening talking about that problem on the car. I want the bottom line. How do I fix this? Okay. So the man's thinking, if the wife came to me and she's obviously coming, she's got these problems and she's talking about this is obviously bothering her. The reason she has come to me is because she wants me to fix the problem. And the reason the man thinks that is because that's why he would come to somebody. Men, listen to this. Really, she does not want you to fix that problem. She just wants sympathy and encouragement. Did you listen to me? Men, say amen. Amen. Daniel Hawtrey, say amen. Amen. Look at me. She wanted encouragement. She wanted love. She wanted sympathy. Look at me. And if she tells you her problems, men, and you don't give her that sympathy and that encouragement, but instead you give her the solution to her problem, look at me, she will prolong that conversation until she gets the sympathy and acceptance and love and encouragement. You say, what do you mean? Look at me. She didn't want a solution to her problem. She wanted you as a husband to care enough to listen and encourage and be sympathetic. Put your arm around her, love her, sweetheart. I'm so sorry you're going through this. But if anybody can handle it, you can. I love you and I'm proud of you. And if she doesn't get, look at me. How many times as a man, your wife came to you with a problem, you gave her the solution to that problem, and it's as if she didn't hear it. She just keeps talking about the same thing. And you're like, but you asked me and I gave you the solution to your problem. You know why she is continuing to talk about it? And many times it's like you say it, they don't listen, and they go right on to something else. You just gave them the solution. It's as if they don't even react to it. They go right to another side of the problem and they go on to something else. Why are they doing that? Because they didn't want your solution. They wanted your sympathy. They wanted your love. They wanted your encouragement. So what does a man do? Well, a man thinks, she asked me, I told her, she doesn't respect me, she didn't even listen to me. She comes to me, I give her a solution, she won't even do it. I can't tell you how many times in our marriage over the years my wife came up and said something about it, and I said, well, sweetheart, what you ought to do is this. She won't do it. Then 2 weeks later, she'll come with the same problem. This is going on, I'm thinking, well, I told you 2 weeks ago. Well, she never wanted my solution. She wanted my sympathy. Now look at me. As a man, here's what starts to bother us. We start to think, well, we're not respected. They don't listen to me. By the way, wives, this is what happens. Husband and a wife sit at home. She goes through all her problems, all her things, and the husband talks to her, gives her solutions. It's as if she doesn't even listen to him. I mean, she just keeps talking in those circles, and because she's a spider web thinker, and the husband, and then here's what happens. You'll tell her because you love her, but it's as if when you tell her, she doesn't listen. And you'll go to church or you'll go out to eat with somebody, and some other woman's husband or some man from somewhere, they'll sit at a table, and she'll somehow bring up that problem, and he'll give one suggestion, and she'll say, well, I haven't thought about that. Well, that's a great idea. And as a husband, you're like, are you kidding me? I've talked to you about this for weeks. But for some reason, it has more validity when it comes from somebody else. That drives men crazy. You know why? Because we want you to respect us. We want you to admire us. We want you to value our opinion. By the way, wives, when you talk to your husband about a problem and he starts giving you the solution, and you're thinking, I didn't want that. I wanted encouragement. Look at me. In that husband's mind, he was helping you. In that husband's mind, he's thinking, I really want to fix this for my wife because I love her. And a husband, although he might not be able to figure out that, you know what you wanted was sympathy and encouragement. You didn't want to be told how to fix it. But to a husband, he thought he was helping. And then when a wife doesn't get what she wants, even though she got the solution, but she didn't get the emotional needs met, now she's upset, and then she doesn't take the husband's advice, and now she doesn't come to him next time. And now the husband's hurt because she seems to go to everybody else and calls her mother and calls her sister and calls everybody else, but she doesn't want my opinion about anything. Because really the whole time, out of love, he just wanted to help her fix the problem. And the whole time she really didn't want him to fix the problem, she just wanted him to love her. Folks, I'm telling you, I am right about this. And that's where problems come. We communicate differently. I don't even think it's a conscious decision. Oftentimes on either party. We're just being who we are. But if this continues, the husband will feel rejected. The wife will feel like she's been ignored. And then you have problems. Do you know that women sometimes have expectation to improve their husbands? Oftentimes a woman likes to redecorate a house, or a woman likes to add certain touches to a meal. And a lot of times you'll come in and maybe a wife, instead of just cooking, you know, meatloaf and mashed potatoes, whatever the case might be, maybe it'll be a nice dish, maybe there'll be a candle lit, maybe there'll be a little bit extra or something on there, and it just is a little bit nicer. A wife enjoys doing that. At least a wife should. That would be nice. Or just to cook once, wives, maybe that would be nice. At least to call the drive-through, you know, or something. At least take it from Kentucky Fried Chicken and put it on a nice plate. That would be nice. Or maybe a wife, you know, a husband will come home and every 3 months the furniture is totally arranged differently in the house. And you'll come up and like, why is the couch moved? And this is over here, and this picture's changed here. You know why? Because a wife enjoys redecorating a house, adding it, making it nicer, trying to change it up. So oftentimes, what does a wife do? She does the same thing to a husband. You know why? Because she's just kind of wired that way. Now listen to me. I want you to get this. A wife may give small advice on how to drive, how to dress, and generally almost mother her husband. By the way, stable men, they don't feel romantically inclined to their mothers. And they don't feel romantically inclined to being mothered. Now you got another problem. Why? Because we're communicating differently. A wife wasn't trying to correct her husband. She wasn't trying to just be mean. She wasn't trying to say, you're not good enough the way you are. I'm trying to make you better. It's just in her nature to try to decorate. It's just in her nature to try to make something better. It's just in her nature to look at something and say, well, I would do this and it would make it nicer. And women, you got to be careful sometimes because we do that to our own husbands. And that's when we get into trouble. Let me say this, figuring out what to say is a challenge for men and women, but knowing how to say it is the biggest obstacle. It's not just figuring out what to say, it's how to say it. Sometimes a husband will come home and he'll say, you never talk to me, his wife will say to him. He'll come home and the wife will say, you never talk to me. And the husband will say, I'm talking to you now. And then the wife will say, but you never spend time with me. And they'll say, I'm spending time with you now. And then the wife will say, but I feel like you're somewhere else. There you go. Now we found what she was really trying to say. See, a lot of times the wife will get on you for things and you think, well, what? And it's really, she's trying to get to a point. And this is the point. What she really wanted to say is that I don't feel you close to me enough. By the way, men, that's not a bad thing. A husband will say, what do you mean I'm someplace else? I'm standing right here. What the wife is trying to say is this: I wish we could talk more. I need you in my life. I appreciate you. I wish you would give me more attention. Listen to me. Women speak more from their emotions while men speak more from facts. The gap between men and women is wise, but it's not impassable. Men, listen to me. When your wife sometimes says, well, why aren't you at home more? Why don't you do this and why don't you do that? And you'll say, why is she on me? Let me tell you something. It's rooted in something good. She wants you there. She doesn't feel that she has you enough. Would you rather her come say, hey, why don't you go get two more jobs so you would never be home? That would make me happy, honey. Would you rather her do that? You see, men, a lot of times we say, well, she's just jumping on me. But what she's really trying to say, she's really crying out, and that's a good thing because you ought to be glad that you have a wife that even wants you around. Oh, dear folks, if we could just figure each other out, if we could just realize where the words that are spoken, where they're coming from, why they're being said the way they are. Many times there's really not a big conflict, but because of the way we handle everything, it becomes a big conflict because we communicate so differently. Before we go tonight, I want to very quickly, we're going to deal with this in more detail in the days ahead, but I want to give some quick advice to men and some quick advice to women. Number one, for men in your marriage, remember, we think different, we feel different, we communicate different. Number one, men, listen. Listen. Try to listen to your wife with empathy, compassion. Try to understand what she is feeling and put yourself in her place and make sure you are on her side. Listen. Men, we are so guilty. While our wife is talking to us, we're already thinking how I can fix what she's talking about. That's not what she wants from us. She wants us to listen. Men, listen. Listen means not only with your ears, with your eyes, with your body. That means stop, focus, listen. And women, please help me out. Timing is everything. You know, a lot of times a woman... it'll be right when the man is, remember what I said, men are focused, they're laser-like focused, and it seems that oftentimes when men are focused on something, that's when women want to talk about something. And it's like, you know what, if they're, we can't focus on five things at once, that's just not the way we're made. And so let's just, timing is everything. Men, number one, listen. Number two, notice the details. Notice the details. Do a lot of small things for your wife, not just one or two big things. Thank God for anniversaries and birthdays, but that's not the only times to get your wife something. Say, hey, that's your opinion. Whatever you want to say. I'm here to tell you, the Bible says you ought to cleave to your wife. And the Bible says that, you know what? Dwell with them according to knowledge. And we know that women are genetically... And every other way, that's the way they're wired, and that would mean the world to them. And if something would mean the world to them, we as husbands ought to do everything we can do to try to provide that for them because we love them. Notice the details. A man may feel like the grand gesture, I'm going to get her this big thing. You think that's the most effective, but women appreciate small reminders of your love and affection. I had to leave Tuesday morning early. I dropped Daniel off school, left from school, drove to Delaware. And I got up that morning and I was getting ready and I left my wife a post-it note on the mirror. And I had wrote some things on there. I can't say everything that I wrote. I gave her the plan of salvation, you know, all those things. But I left her a good note, told her I couldn't wait to get back home. Now, I could have left a something. I could have said, sweetheart, I hired a bunch of people to come clean the house for you today, or hey, I got you a thing at the spa. All that would be great. But you know what? That little note I left meant a lot to her, and she said it did. You know why? Because she knows that I only did that because I was thinking about her. I wish I did a whole bunch more stuff like that, but that's the only illustration I could come up with. I'm just picking. A phone call, maybe a book she would enjoy. Now that we have cell phones and texts, maybe just send her a text. Just let her know I'm thinking about you. Maybe some flowers, maybe some candy, maybe Slim Fast. Whatever you want to get her, it would be very meaning. Don't get her that. I'm just picking. Better go on. Number three, do not do what your pastor just did. Number three, ask her counsel. Now, man, this doesn't come easy, and I'm almost done. I know our time is a little bit, but this is important. Ask her counsel. Your wife may not always be able to give you a reason for her opinion, but her advice needs to be highly valuable to you, and she needs to know it's valuable to you. I can't use anybody else but me, obviously, but my wife is just the easiest person to be married to when it comes to this. My wife just, she just trusts me and lets me do it. If I decided I wanted to go buy whatever today, she would let me do it. But you know what? Because she trusts me, I don't go waste money. And I don't go buy a bunch of junk. You know why? Because she trusts me. And a lot of times a woman doesn't trust a man because he's never given a reason to trust. But my wife, I mean, she's just not horribly opinionated. But I always ask her. I'll be like, sweetheart, you know, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And she'll be like, well, whatever you want to do. And I said, well, what do you think? And many times I have to draw out the opinion from her because she honestly just, she just trusts me, wants me to do it. When we built our house, she did not pick out one thing in that house. Carpet, whatever the case might be, she said, you do it. You do it. Let me tell you something. That's an easy wife. Thank God for it. But you know what? I always ask her. Because your wife needs to know that her opinion is valuable. And there have been many times I asked her and she said, well, I think this and this. And I'd be like, you know, that's a good idea. And I've taken her up on that advice. Number four, appreciate her motives. Even when you don't appreciate her message or what she says, you've got to appreciate her motives. When your wife complains, listen to me, man, when she complains about your heavy workload, she's really just saying, I want you to be home more. And that's a great thing. You ought to be thankful for that, men. Number five, offer support. Before offering solutions, offer support. Very important. It's more important to her that you listen before trying to fix it. She wants to know that you care and listen. Number six, accept her as she is. Don't try to adjust her or change her. Accept her. Love her. All right, women, only five for you. We'll go tonight. Number one, based on the differences of feeling, thinking, communication, number one, wives, do not give unsolicited advice. I'm not saying that you don't have the right to talk to your husbands. I'm just saying, ladies, let's think about this. Don't give unsolicited advice. And here's why. If you followed this single piece of advice, your husband would be thrilled. Particularly because we as men have egos. And we don't take helpful advice as a sign of loving and caring. We take people giving unsolicited advice as judging and as saying we're not good enough. You say, well, you shouldn't feel that way. We're giving you your stuff. That's our stuff. That's the way we feel. That's the way we take it. I have been around it. I have sat with marriage counseling and seen this. Listen, a man could bend over backwards. He could buy his wife a brand new house. I mean, put everything in it. And he could bring the wife, surprise her, sweetheart, I bought this for you. And she would say, and some wives would say, well, why did you choose that kind of stone? Or why do we go with that kind of brick? I really love it. I just wish. And what you have just done is everything that your husband tried to do as a task, achieving a goal to please you. What you have basically done is say to him, you're a failure. You're a failure. You say, well, that's not what I'm in. I do appreciate everything else, but I'm just noticing details. Remember, you are detail-oriented, ladies, but you don't understand sometimes in your details, you can absolutely wipe out the spirit of your husband and make him feel worthless. Please don't do that. Don't give unsolicited advice. Number two, don't make him talk. Ooh, hit a little soft spot there, didn't we? Don't make him talk. Don't try to make your husband talk when he withdraws from you. Listen to me, he needs time. He doesn't know what to do about it yet. Remember, we are task-oriented. He's waiting. If you try to make him talk now, the results are going to be unpleasant. So don't make him. When he's ready, he'll talk. Now, there's always exceptions to this case. My wife and I are great exceptions to this. My wife is just like that. I am almost like a woman in that. I'm the communicator. I'm the one that wants to talk. I'm like, let's figure it out. Let's get this settled. My wife's one, if she's upset about something, leave her alone. And I'm the one going to her, Julie, we need to talk about this. You know, my mom and dad said, don't ever go to bed angry. And if my wife could say what she wants to say, she's going to turn around, buddy, you're going to bed angry tonight because I'm not talking. And you know what I have found with my wife? You give her space. When she's ready to talk, she'll talk. And listen, we've got to feel each other out like that. And you've got to give each other the space, because a lot of times if you force somebody before they're ready, and you just, and wives, if your husband needs time and you go, no, you need to talk now, and you just keep on, well, then he's going to talk and it's going to be nasty. And then you're going to have this huge problem. And he was trying to save that. Number three, be clear. This is huge. Be clear in your comments, in your suggestions, in your communication. And I know it's not always easy and it doesn't come naturally sometimes, but try your best to be clear. Look at me. We use half of our brains. We can't figure it out sometimes. I can't tell how many times a man have to say to a woman, I'm not a mind reader. We literally are not. We have half a brain to try to read your whole brain. It can't be done. You got to be clear. Make it clear that you do not blame your husband for your problem if you're describing one. We as men, we're almost on edge waiting for you to see if you're going to knock us down. We're almost waiting to see if you're going to belittle us, because we have egos and because it matters to us that you respect us. And we're just waiting. It's very easy for us to feel like you don't respect us, like you don't value us, like we're not good enough and we haven't whatever. So women, be very, very clear. I was reading one book by a gentleman, and I thought this was good. He said that his wife often, she'll say to me, I know this is not your fault. I know you cannot do anything about this, but she then proceeds to share with me her concern. I recognize then that she is looking for sympathy, understanding, and support, and she's not blaming me for the difficulty. You see, a lot of times, ladies, when you come to your husband and you have some things going on and problems, what a husband will often take that as, if I don't fix this for her, I'm not being a good husband, because we're the providers. And so a lot of times, yeah, you don't want a solution. You want us to care and be sympathetic. But to a husband, we feel like we're not doing our job if we don't immediately jump into action and help you fix it, because we love you and we think she's going to appreciate this. No, she doesn't. And here's a husband thinking, man, I'm doing good. I'm giving her the solution. I'm helping her fix her problem. But instead of getting praised for that, the wife walks away in silence, hurt, crying in the bedroom. And you're like, what happened? What in the world's going on? I'm going to go get a Krispy Kreme. I don't know what's going on. Number four, condense it. It means not only make it clear, but ladies, if you can, simplify it. Number number five. Oh, man. God bless you, Brother Don. That was hilarious. For example, ladies, let me give you a real simple illustration. Let's say that there's trash in your kitchen and you would like for your husband to take that trash out. Now, ladies, listen to me. You would go a lot further, get a lot more done, have a lot less problems if you would say, "Sweetheart, honey, would you be willing to take out the garbage tonight?" And the husband would say, "Okay, yeah." Now, well, a good husband would say, "Yeah, sure, sweetheart." A lazy, good-for-nothing husband would say, "No, I'll do it later." That's a lazy, rotten, good-for-nothing. A good husband would say, "Sure, I'll do it." Because men ought to take the trash out. Wow, okay. Now, instead, what often takes place is this. "Honey, do you think you could please take out the garbage this week? It's been 4 weeks since our garbage has been taken out. The garbage is full of trash. It stinks to high heaven. And I don't know why in the world we haven't gotten out to the curb before now." Now, essentially, the wife said the same thing. "I want you to take the garbage out." But she gave a whole bunch of details that's just going to absolutely cause problems. And wives, you might be thinking, "Well, but I'm telling the truth. He's been, you know, he hadn't taken the garbage out forever and all this stuff." Well, listen to me. Remember, we're dwelling together according to knowledge. It's in how you ask. And oftentimes a husband feels like, "Okay, yeah, I'll do it because you asked nice. And, well, yeah, I'll be glad to do that for you." But boy, you just start belittling him before he even does it. Not only now, if this husband does it, let me tell you what's going on. You wives think you've said your whole piece and, "All right, he's finally taking the garbage out." Yeah. And let me tell you what's going on while he's taking that garbage out. "Oh, I can't stand her." Telling you what, "I should have married my girlfriend from high school. Goodness gracious. What is going on?" Let me tell you, you know why? Because I'm going to tell you something. You talk about causing a division in a marriage. Is in order for you to get your husband to do something, you have to belittle him. You're killing the whole thing. Number five, last, give perspective. That means this: put things in perspective for your spouse. When you're telling him some difficulties or things you're going through, be sure to let him know that you are, by and large, happy, satisfied, content with him as a husband. You know, and even if there's some issues that, you know, as a husband, you're like, "Sweetheart, I need you," but you need to say, "You know, you do so well, and you've done this and this and this, and you know what? I just want to thank you for being..." In other words, let me tell you something. In order to get us to do what you really want us to do, the magical thing and the way to do that is if you build us up, look at me, you make us want to do it. But if you tear us down, not only do you make us not want to do it, but now we won't want to be around you. Because no man wants to be around somebody that constantly tears them down. What does the Bible say? Look at me before we go. I read it to you. "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with him according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another." That means all these little nuances that make us different, have compassion on your mate. Realize, you know what, they are different from me. Listen to this, this is what it says. "Love as brethren, be pitiful." That means have pity. That means this: give them time. Don't put high expectations on them that they cannot deliver. Be courteous. Imagine how much problems in marriage would be eliminated if each of us would just be courteous with each other. Listen to this: not rendering evil for evil. You tell me that's not marriage. Somebody gets mad, has a bad day, comes home, says a smart aleck comment. Well, that mate's had a bad day too, turns around. Well, what do? We render evil for evil. Goes right to nowhere. Listen to this: or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit what? A blessing. He says, you know, if you'll take these little steps, yeah, you might have to eat your own pride, and yeah, you might not be able to get your point across to your husband or your wife, and yeah, you might have to, you know, maybe they deserve being chewed out, but maybe if you would just take that step and be nice and courteous and give blessing even though evil was rendered, what did God say? You will inherit a blessing. God honors that. I don't know about you, I would rather lose a few little battles and win the war. And have a marriage that honors God. Folks, look at me. We are different. We're different. God designed it that way. Father, Lord, I thank you for the patience of our people. I just really felt, Lord, that this was very, very important. Pray that you'd work on hearts, that you would soften and tenderize. Lord, help our wives here not to be sitting here thinking how my husband needed that. Lord, I pray that our wives would say, Lord, I need to improve. Lord, as our husbands are sitting here, I hope they're not thinking, well, I'm glad he said that about. Lord, that's a sure sign who the problem is right there anyway. Lord, I pray that our husbands are thinking about the areas they need to change and improve and work on. God, would you help us? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.